Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
This is the smell of the leftover tuna fish sandwich you left in your lunchbox over the weekend in a wimpy trash bag.
Wimpy, wimpy, wimpy!
Blech! And this is the smell of that same sandwich in a Hefty Ultra Strong trash bag.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
Ah, smell the difference? Hefty Ultra Strong has Arm & Hammer with continuous odor control, so no matter what's inside your trash, you can stay one step ahead of stinky. And for bigger jobs, try the superior strength of Hefty Large Black Bags.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Good morning. I'm Shannon Penrod, and it is the 37th hour of the podcast-a-thon. Someone's slapped me, butter my biscuit, and call me, I don't jujube, I don't know what to call me anymore. But it is the 37th hour of the podcast-a-thon. It is 3 o'clock in the morning here in Pacific Time Zone, and God bless all of you in New York. It's 6 o'clock there. And I know some of you, because people came in the last hour and said, good morning. Dahlia, we're so glad to have you here. And I can't see who said hi. The name is obscured for me. But we're cresting it now. We're coming around to the final push here. And we've got so many great shows for you. But I promised at this weird hour of the morning that I would do something that we've never done before. And so I've invited one of my dearest and oldest friends on the face of the planet. I'm talking about Therese McLaughlin. And she is an amazing actress. She's a director. She's a voiceover person. You are brilliantly someone who voices for the blind.
Yes.
If you have had the opportunity to, if you have not done this, you need to do this today. Sometimes you can get a movie. For instance, the second Borat movie.
Yes.
You could rent that movie, and when you can put on closed captioning, right? Which we always in my house now watch with closed captioning.
I have to watch everything.
Right? Because it's the old people thing to do. Mm-hmm. And then we appreciate really good closed captioning, which you know a thing or two about. But then every once in a while, it's a smart, fun thing to do to put on closed captioning for the blind. And I really recommend it with Borat, the second movie, because when you do, the entire thing is done by Ms. Therese.
I'll be set, yes.
And it's hilarious. It is worth, because imagine all the things that you see in the Borat
movie. My sister-in-law loves to do that, as a matter of fact. She will find shows that she knows that I narrated, and they'll just sit and listen to me.
Yeah.
And
well, you're hilarious.
But for Borat, that was its own thing, yeah.
Because you have to describe everything that they are seeing.
Everything.
So, you know.
That was It was so much fun. It was a really long day because I couldn't stop laughing.
Yeah.
So I would start to speak and be like, ah! And then we'd have to start over again.
Well, but, you know, and that's certainly not the only movie that you've done. And you do a lot of television programs, too.
I do a lot of television. I do a lot of reality shows. I do Survivor and The Amazing Race.
Oh, I didn't know you did Survivor and Amazing Race.
I'm the voice of Survivor and The Amazing Race. And we have a bunch of smaller reality shows. I wasn't a reality show person, but like when I go into the booth and I go into my job, I dive in.
Yeah.
And I am in between takes and between captioning, I'm yelling at the screen. I'm like, don't you? What are you? Oh, she's so, you know. And,
oh, I love
and
it.
And then between my producer and my sound person, it's
you're having a good time.
Well, you have to.
Well, but you know, you don't do anything in half measure. Therese is somebody who does everything with passion and nerve. So everything from having dogs, you are a dog
person. It's
a nice
way of saying I'm a little extra, but that's okay.
Well, you know, to me, that's the ultimate compliment.
Aww,
because
honey.
What if you're not living and you live? You live and you live well and you enjoy what you're doing. And so that is, so if that's extra, let's all be extra.
Let's all be extra.
And if
can
people,
we all be extra?
If people don't like extra, then they get to sit at home and
whatever.
Do whatever, you know,
I have
knit and crochet.
You know, knitting and crocheting though is kind of extra too.
It is.
And I'd
it
like to
be.
Learn to do that, but I wouldn't have the time. I'm just so busy with running around the world.
I'm ready to just sit in a rocking chair and knit and only do that.
I know.
I was just saying today that I used to be that the word retirement was such a foreign thing to me, and now it is not such a foreign thing. It's like a thing I daydream about.
I don't know what that would mean. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like my, yeah, everything I do in my life is just sort of just stuff I really like to do.
Yeah.
So if I were to retire,
yeah,
what would I do? Go sit in my booth and record. Okay, that's what I do right now.
Plus,
play with my dogs.
We should say this too, you're an amazing painter.
Thank you.
Yes. And this is a new thing that you discovered only in like the last 2 years,
yeah,
correct?
And it wasn't even a pandemic thing. It was, I don't know what happened, but I just decided one day, quite honestly, just decided one day, I'm gonna paint something. And I just got some cheap paints and cheap canvases and I started painting things. And then my husband was out of town, bless him, because he came home, yeah, and my kitchen was covered in,
yeah,
little canvases all over the place. And he literally walked in, you couldn't see anything, like the baking counter.
Yeah.
And he's like, so is this what we're doing now?
I
said, no,
it.
This is what we're doing also.
Did you see in my office? Where,
I did, where, and I showed Marina too.
There we,
yes,
go.
Yes.
And I didn't hang that up this week. That's been up the whole time.
I believe
here.
You.
Yes.
I know.
I didn't even have to have to lie about it.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I have known Therese since we were in college, but I will say this, that it wasn't like we were close in college. In fact, it seemed like we had friends in common in college.
Yeah, we were in this concentric circles.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it wasn't until, I think, and then after we left college, it was the same thing, that people that I was really close with, you became roommates with. Like, I was,
yeah,
close with Christine.
Yeah. That was how it worked.
And you became roommates with her. So you were always somebody who was in my circle of friends and always somebody that I respected and admired, but I didn't, you know, we weren't close.
Well,
and
you were like, you know, I was a goofball. And but this is true.
I'm going to get to tell my side of this.
Okay. And I was bouncing around. We were in the theater weirdos and all that,
yes,
was awesome, which everybody should be.
Yes.
Let your freak flag fly.
Yes.
But I was just bouncing around doing things. But Shannon, but you were, you know, you were like into it and you were like
well, I was
dedicated and did stuff. And I was just like, wah, I'm here for the party, you know. So it was sort of, I had a little bit of a different vibe at that point, and I was kind of scared that, you know, because you were more, you know, you were like a big girl, like in terms of like knowing yourself and knowing, like, you're one of the big kids, like big girl pants and had like acting chops, and I was just like, wee.
but that's what it felt like to you. And on my side of it, you know, I was not one of the cool kids. But I was the one who was like, okay, I'll be the parliamentarian of the Blackfriars Association. You know what I mean?
That's what I mean. You were
exactly,
you had like big,
so I was official.
Yeah, you were like one of the big,
you know,
kids.
You're Robert's Rules of Orders here. You know, I was that person trying to run things. You know, I was the president of the production formation committee.
Yeah, and I was like mooning people backstage.
Right, but you were this free spirit that was doing your own thing. But, you know, and I would get cast as, you know, the third washerwoman from the left in the play, and Therese would come in when she deigned to do a play.
Oh my gosh.
She would come in.
I'm not a monster.
Not at all. But you had a life that was out. I didn't have any other life outside the theater department, but Therese had a life outside the theater department. And then she would come in and audition for something and get the lead. That's true. Don't. I like, let's start naming
all right.
roles.
Well, okay. All right.
She was Charity when we did Sweet
Aww.
Charity. Right?
Mm.
Absolutely. So you and you played Amanda in thank you, in Glass Menagerie. So I have facts to back this up. So in any case.
But Shannon, you were always like somebody that I like just respected because
me
you
too.
Were like one of the serious actor kids. And I was just like, ooh.
Well, you just were this.
And I just never felt like I was going to measure up. So
oh
was
my
just,
gosh.
But you know, but that's true. I mean, that's true at, you know, at 18 or 19 and stuff. And
right.
I was like,
we're all
these, you know, I was a little afraid of the kids that were, you know, that were the serious
carrying
actors.
Robert's Rules of Orders.
Precisely, because I was, you know, because literally I'm mooning the people backstage, you know, and so.
Free spirit.
But it was an incredible time. But then we did get to be a bit closer as time went on, and we became adults, and both end of us ended up out in California.
Yes.
And
but I think what did it, can I say what did it?
The sewing machine.
Well, we were invited back to our alma mater to teach during their summer program, both of us. I was teaching acting and you were teaching movement and stage combat.
Yeah.
Because you are also someone.
At that point, I was doing,
stunt
I was doing
work.
A lot of stunts. I was doing some stunt work, and I was studying, like, weapons and stuff like that. Again, because I was like, oh, that looks like
fight
fun.
Coordinator.
Yeah.
And you're also physically someone who is very adept.
Yeah, at that time, for sure.
Now I'm coordinated.
Just, I'm hurt. I'm in a lot of pain most of the time because that's what I did to my body.
But so we were teaching in the same program for like an intensive 2-week program.
That was kind of when we got tight,
and we did that a couple of summers. In fact, the summer that I started dating my now husband, and you were counseling me on that whole summer because I was like, what does it mean when he says this? And you were helping me out with all that. So, but yes, I was on my way. We were both on our way back to Los Angeles, but I was taking the long route and stopping in Iowa.
Yeah.
And I mentioned that I was going to get an old sewing machine. That there was a woman that my mom knew who refurbished old sewing machines. And, you know, they were like, $25?
They were $25.
And I was going to get one. And I was excited enough about it that I was talking about it endlessly. And you said, I want one. And I said, you don't want an old, refurbished, old, like, you know, 1965 sewing machine. And you said, you did. And I really didn't think you did. And even when I went and bought one for you, I thought, she's going to think, when I come back to L.A. with this thing, she's going to think I'm crazy. But in fact, it was quite the opposite. That I
love it. And I still have it and I still use it.
Isn't that funny? And you said to me when I brought the sewing machine back, you said, okay, we're forever friends. You brought me the sewing machine. We're forever friends. So that's how we got here. But then, and we have been living in LA as friends for more than 20 years now. In fact,
way more than 20 years.
Jem's about to be 20. Do you believe that?
No.
And you were, I think you were the first person that wasn't my mother that was up at the hospital when Jem was born.
I was there on his
birthday.
On the day of his birth, actual.
So that's how long we have known each other. And you were somebody who was there for me when he was diagnosed.
Yeah.
And was somebody, I've been talking all day about how you have to get respite, you were there and would spell me. You and Christine would take turns and so that I could go do something. When I've told the story many times on the program before about saying one time that a friend was going to come and watch Jem so that I could go have a few minutes to myself. And what I decided to do with it was go to do scrapbooking at the local scrapbooking store. And I always say that the friend who came to do that said to the other friend, if I ever need a break and I want to go scrapbooking, please shoot me. It was her. She's the one who said it. But then I also say that then you went on to get married and you have kids of your own and you're Miss Craft and Scrap, you know, and you totally get it
now. I know.
You're the one
thing
making bumblebees out of rocks.
I know. Oh, God, I know. I've turned into, like, Polly Crafty. I could scrapbook only as when I'm sweeping the crap off my floor. I'm like, oh, look at that. I could do something with that. I should probably just throw it away. But, yeah. No, I know. I'm very crafty. I'm craftsy.
And you're also an urban farmer.
Yes, an urban farmer and a beekeeper.
Yes.
And
with chickens.
I know, L.A. city living. And chickens and bunnies and
your
bunch
very
of
own
dogs.
Chainsaw.
And my very own chainsaw, which came in really handy because in the rain, a giant eucalyptus tree fell over in our yard. So I've been out there.
I think I want some eucalyptus. I think I want to make a wreath.
Oh, gosh. Oh.
Right?
Oh, I have plenty.
Okay. I'd like
I
some.
I have plenty.
Please.
Yeah.
This is what happens when you know an urban farmer. Mm-hmm. But if you're in the Los Angeles area and you need some organic honey, she is
we
your
have honey.
Connection. So there you go. So this is how we got here.
That is how
but,
we got here.
And it was a couple of years ago
yes.
that as I was, well, the truth of the matter is that I had what I thought was a fibroid. Turned out to be a tumor, but it was a benign tumor
right.
In my uterus, but we thought it was fibroids. And somebody said to me, you know, that fibroids are unspent creativity.
Who said that?
I don't know. Somebody. But it's not just one person, but
yeah.
I think Christine Northrup
says that. That's like the last thing I would think of. I'd be like,
really?
Fibroids, ooh.
Well, there's this...
No, you've said that to me before, and it yeah. suddenly dawned on me that, like... I didn't know who said that or where that would come from.
It might have been Christine Northrup. Mm. But there is this, it's out there in the
place where things are out.
In the blogosphere. Yes.
Where the outs are.
Yes.
As opposed to the in.
Because, you know, your uterus is a place where you create, you know, ultimately you can create life if you mm-hmm. want to. And that as women, we're very creative.
Right now, mine is actually just a dry, rocky place where nothing will ever find purchase.
Well, mine is now too. But there is a time and a place in which
there was.
It's the center, supposedly, of our creativity. And, you know, you can be creative and create children,
yeah.
create live bodies there, but you can also create other things too. But it's the center of your creativity. And that things go askew there when you're not living.
In a metaphysical sense, I get
yes.
that, but I couldn't
okay.
resist making that
right.
joke about myself.
But, and so somebody said to me, I don't know, it wasn't Christine Northrup who said this to me, but they were like, so what unresolved creativity, what has been poking you in your back that you haven't...
Or in your uterus.
Yeah, or in your uterus that you have not done, and I was like, oh, no, I'm going to have to do that show.
That show,
because I had, from the minute that Jem was diagnosed... The only way that I could make sense of the diagnosis was by turning it into a comedy routine in my head, in the
yeah.
clown car that is my head. And there would be little snippets of things along the way where I would meet someone and they would say things that were devastating to me. And in my head, I would turn it into some kind of a, you know, funny or die video or whatever, because it was the only way I could survive it. Mm. At a certain point, right? Because the only way that I could understand it and get my arms
that's
around
that's your orientation.
Yeah.
Like, that's you moving through the world, right?
Yeah.
You will always, forever and ever, been so, like, the queen of, the, like, self-deprecating isn't even the right
yeah.
framework that we're in. You can, will, and do take a situation that feels untenable and you know, unsurvivable in some respects, and you will tell me about it, and I will be on the floor laughing.
Because I don't know how to frame it.
Not because it is funny, but because you will say
yeah.
stuff, and it's an amazing quality.
Oh,
and it's
thanks.
A rare thing.
But I don't know how to frame it otherwise, because I mean, God bless my mom and my dad, but it wasn't like either one of them came with a skill set from their parents about how to deal with difficult things or strife or whatever. You know, like, nobody gave that to them.
Ooh.
And so they had nothing to pass down to me. And so as a very young child, I learned, well, if you can make people laugh about it
yeah.
and make yourself laugh about it, then you can breathe easier about it. So certainly when my son was diagnosed with autism, I was like, hurry, I got to find some humor in this
yeah,
or
yeah,
I
yeah.
can't breathe.
Or I'm going to explode.
I'm going
yeah.
to yeah, spontaneously yeah. combust
yeah.
was what
it's
I was
like
going to say.
It's like that saying, if you come from a dysfunctional family, you end up with really messed up coping skills and a dark sense of humor.
Yeah.
Which,
yes.
Perfect.
So, yeah, and thank God for that, because yeah. it is a coping mechanism that, you know, hopefully helps you to get through. I was just thinking of all the other coping mechanisms that I could have, some of which I do have.
But, me too!
Right?
But, whoopsie!
Yeah, I said earlier that, you know, because, you know, at a certain point, it's like, you know, cozy up to a cheesecake. Because food is a thing for me. But the humor thing, very, very helpful to me. So there was all this stuff, but I wasn't doing anything with it. And I don't know what you and I went to... because I was talking to other people about potentially directing, but we went someplace to something, and then we ended up at a Zanku Chicken. Do you recall this?
I don't recall Zenku Chicken. I do recall us being on the phone.
Interesting.
Huh.
I remember being at a Zenku Chicken with you.
Oh, wait. But this was after we started doing it.
I think it was like the second conversation.
It was,
but you were saying to me, tell me what you said, let me into the clown car that is in your head to know, because I didn't have anything on paper.
Right, because it was after we started doing, it was after we started working on it together, because where we were, like, because I would not know where a Zenku chicken was
I know where every Zenku chicken is.
Yeah, and I wasn't eating chicken at that.
Course not. Raise chickens.
No, but it wasn't even, that's how that started, where we were just.
Yeah.
But I do recall us being on the phone where we were talking about that project.
Uh-huh.
And doing it, and then you had spoken to some people about directing it, and then the.
Yeah.
Fringe Festival was coming up, right?
Yep, the Hollywood
Fringe
Festival.
And then I think we were just, and you were like, I don't know what to do. And I was like, well, I'll direct it.
Yes,
like,
you're always so game. But you also had a sensibility about it. And you also know how to push me. And you said, okay, so start telling me. So what I recall is we were sitting in the Zenku Chicken, and I said, well, here's the first clown car. And I said, it's a game show. And that I'm a woman on a game show, and the whole thing is a joke on me, because there's this phrase that we have about a river in Egypt, because that's denial. Casey, if you have the ability to play the video that's titled Jeopardy. You guys can see.
Can I do a quick setup for it?
Yeah, please.
Because
Casey will need a second.
Okay. Oh, he's got. Okay. So, what I want to say to everybody, first of all, thank you guys, everybody who's here this morning, and good morning. When I walked in and you all said good morning to me, I'm like, oh, right. Okay. but thank you for being here. And I just need you all to know that Shannon's font and fountain of creativity and passion is something that the world is so happy to have, because if we didn't have people like Shannon in the world, it would be a much, much, much dimmer place. So when she wanted to do this project, getting her show off the ground, I know that Shannon's ability to create characters and create instances and create comedy and just create pathos and empathy and then throw it all down with an incredible punchline. There's no one else who makes me laugh as hard as Shannon does.
Well, that's
and right. it is true. You've seen me lose my mind laughing. And so when she wanted to do this idea about the game show, she was going to do all of the characters in every bit. And I couldn't have been more thrilled to let her shine forth, because she's funny. And like you said, like she's already said, if you can't find the humor in it, it's going to be a real struggle. I'm not saying you can't survive it. Yeah. You can survive anything, but it's going to be a big struggle. And the woman like Shannon, and I'm sure many, many, many of you out there have found coping mechanisms, and I hope that there is some humor in there, because it will really help elevate you. So Shannon coming through with this, we're going to do the Jeopardy one.
Yeah.
It's a direct takeoff on the Jeopardy, but she's brilliantly funny, and we had so much fun, and we'll, after we watch it, we can talk about the process of that, having that happen.
I have to give the disclaimer, though, that all of these were meant for a live theater performance. Mm. The quality of the film is not meant for this kind of a setup, which is why we haven't shown them before, but we're going to show them today anyway.
Yeah, but it's good, because we did it in an office, right? We were on
it's
a shoestring.
We shot it ourselves. Edited it. It was my first time
like
doing anything
at this time
of
night, probably.
Yeah, exactly.
And, but it was on a shoestring, and that's kind of part of the charm, I think.
Well, here we go. So Casey played Jeopardy for us.
Welcome to Wheel of Double Jeopardy with your host, Neurotypical.
Thank you, Johnny. Welcome, everyone. And now it's time to meet our first contestant. She's a new mom from Los Angeles with a passion for puppets and fireworks. Hi, Nero. I'm Shannon Penrod, and I'm the proud first-time mom of a very busy two-year-old. He's amazing, and he's the love of my life.
That's great.
I'm
I'm just curious. I don't mean to be personal. I'm just wondering. Did you adopt? No. It's just you look a little old to have a 2-year-old.
Oh, well, I had him when I was 41. I guess that's kind of old.
I'll say, did they hand you your AARP card on the delivery table? Are you ready to play?
I sure am.
Pick a category.
Okay, I'll take a river in Egypt for 200, please.
The answer is lining up their toys, not making eye contact, and not answering when their name is called.
Oh, I know this one. What are super cute things your toddler does?
Oh, no. No, I'm sorry. The answer is, what are early signs that your child has a neurodevelopmental disorder called autism?
Oh.
Pick again.
Okay, I'll take a river in Egypt for 400, please.
The answer is giving in when your child throws a tantrum, deliberately rearranging your life not to set them off, and obsessively planning your life around not upsetting your child.
This one is easy. What are things that you do to stay sane, to keep from losing your mind, to survive, to get through every day?
No. No. I'm sorry. The answer is, what are ways that parents unwittingly reinforce their child's challenging behavior?
What? Well, that's just crazy.
Are we sticking with denial, Shannon?
What? No! I'll take a river in Egypt for 600, please.
Okay. That will be denial for 600. The answer is Gymboree, the YMCA, Whole Foods Market, a laundromat, the Saddleback Church, and the Happy Family Fun Fall Festival 2006.
What are places that I have been thrown out of because of my son's behavior?
Yes, you are correct. Tell her what she's won, Johnny.
You have won a lifetime supply of gluten-free, casein-free crackers that taste like cardboard and smell like asbestos tiles. And this Autism Jargon to English Dictionary. Bye-bye now, and good luck.
Okay. So, but the core of that was that, you know, we all those places that I said we had been kicked out of, we had been.
Well, I want to ask you now, as the creator and as the writer of this project, what with those questions with Jeopardy? First of all, the fact that you chose Jeopardy was great. You know, because it's the name of a show, and it's also what we feel like we're in.
Yes.
You know,
Jeopardy.
So what was the inspiration for that moment, like of those particular questions, though they are going to be based obviously in, you know, your reality, and the relationship of you and the host? Because, like, who was the host and who were you?
Well,
in
I was
writing
me.
This.
Yeah. I was me, you know, because I think that was me.
That was you.
That I was the person that, and the host was everybody who was
right.
judging me.
Right.
Because the joke was on me. I don't know if you recall, but it's one of the things that I talk about a lot, is that I started to notice that there were things going on with Jem well before we got the diagnosis, mm-hmm. that I took him to the pediatrician and said, I think something's going on. And the pediatrician told me I was crazy, that I was a worrier, that he was fine. And then I told a lot of our friends, a lot of our mutual friends, the ones that had kids, and they all said to me, no, he's fine, you know, you're a worrier, whatever. And then when he was diagnosed, do you know how many of those same friends said, yes, we all knew that and we didn't want to tell you?
Oh, because yes. I remember... You were saying, like, do you think he has autism? Do you think? And it was such a wild time because it happened slowly, but it felt like it happened so fast.
Yeah.
But I getting felt the that diagnosis.
I felt that everybody knew but me, and that the joke was on me, and it hurt my feelings so horribly to find out that people were talking about it behind us and being like, she's in denial. And that was so painful. And we'd been kicked out of all those places. And that I wanted to create this environment in which it was so clear, but she's not getting it.
Right.
And make fun of it.
But what I love also is that the Jeopardy host, which that was amazing.
And that was me.
Well, we had a lot of fun shooting that, though, too. I laughed way too hard.
We certainly did. You're a great director.
Were tremendous with what you gave. But so the Jeopardy host is the outside world, and they are somewhat in control.
Yes.
But they're not showing you the empathy.
Yeah.
They're not giving you, that's what was so beautiful about the, just the whole juxtaposition of Jeopardy, the word and the situation.
Yeah.
And then the fact that you're not getting the empathy.
Yeah.
And that's the point of that, is that was you at that time.
Yes,
with this limited knowledge, your understanding of the world that you're in, and then there's this big, you know, this face on the screen.
A big game.
The host.
Yes.
Who's calling the shots, more or less.
Yep.
Who has the information and isn't giving it to you.
No.
But it's just kind of smacking you around with it.
It's just what it felt like.
You dope, you dummy, you dummy, you dummy.
Exactly.
And I think that is so telling. I mean, the responses to that piece, too, were really strong.
When we would do it in performance,
people
would laugh and people would cry and people would hold themselves because they understood what I was saying. We've got two more clips that we have to get to before we get to the top of the hour. So I think that next week...
No, I'm staying forever. I'm never leaving.
Well, we have another podcast waiting to take over at 4 o'clock. So the next clip that I wanted to show is the one that I usually will take if I'm going to speak to BCBAs, because it's about jargon and about alphabet land. Because it's funny, because a parent wrote to me yesterday and said, I've had, you know, my child is having a hard time at school. We just got the diagnosis and we've had to take a deep dive. And they said, I'm in the land of the IEP and the BCBA and the, all the letters. And this I had, you know, I want to say that I co-wrote this song with a young gentleman on the spectrum.
Right. He did the music.
Jay Cowger. That he did the music and helped me fit some of the lyrics I had to the music that he wrote.
And I wanted to also give an outside perspective, outside in terms of not being an autism mom, but being an ally.
Yeah.
That's the best way to put it. The jargon part of this, of course, this was hilarious. And when we filmed it and we went, you know, Shannon went for it and we were just, you know, in for a penny, in for a pound, going as far as possible. But my head exploded at the jargon. And I'd been around, you know, this. We had talked about it for years.
It's
I got
into
the IEP. But when I saw it put up on screen, the way that you did it, I was like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
My brain hurt.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, I was laughing really hard because it was hilarious. But the message was, this hurts my brain. This is...
My favorite comment of anybody, our dear friend, mutual friend, Brian Williams.
Yes.
Said to me after he came and saw it, he said, I didn't understand it at all. He said, but everybody was laughing so hard and you were hilarious, but I didn't understand a word you said. And I said, that's the whole
point.
That was
the point.
So, Casey, can we show Alphabet Land? We'll take a look. I should have given you a bigger warning. Alphabet Land. Alpha Rend. Yeah.
Oh, right.
Yeah, Alpha Rend. I think that's what it's called.
It's probably called.
Howdy, and welcome to Alphabet Land. This is where we like to take a bunch of letters, stick them together, and slowly make people lose their minds. You got your IEPIFSPESYAAC. You're talking ADDADHD to the SLP. The OTM, the APE, say the BIP ain't helping with the ODD. You thought you had an idea, but now it's IDEA. Unless it's ADA. Are you feeling overwhelmed? Why, we ain't even halfway done. Grab you some letters and let's have some fun. LEA is talking PBS. NGE with HQT, you're hoping for EI from the IEE. And FAP includes a PP and some RDA. You might be wondering where all these letters come from. Well, in the beginning, they were just a few, just so you wouldn't have to say big, long words over and over. Then some folks realized if they use a bunch of these acronyms, it would make them seem like they knew what they was talking about. And then they could get one over on you, trick you into buying a pig and a poke. If you ever find yourself dealing with someone like that, you just say to them, you get your BCBA in here to do an FBA, or I'll see you at the DPH. My kid has a right to L-R-E, an E-I-B-I from an R-B-T or a B-Cat, and I am an M-O-M.
It's still so funny.
I showed that at a conference where I was speaking to BCBAs a couple of years ago, and I almost on a weekly basis, I get like 5 or 10 requests. You know, are you ever going to put this video public? So it just did.
Oh, please.
So there you go. Well,
there
it is.
It's so funny, and you are so funny, and it makes so much sense, and it's poignant.
Well, I always say to the BCBAs, you got to stop with the jargon, enough with the jargon, you know, put it down, because we have enough to deal with this mashuganiness.
Mashuganiness.
And that's when you're little, that's hard to say.
So, what time is it?
Yes. Hello. And by the way, we're saying good morning to Helen. So glad that you're here with us, Helen, for this wacky hour. I want to get to the last clip, and then maybe we could talk about anything with whatever time we have left, because
okay.
I don't know how long this one is. And we've never shown this before. It's the IEP. It's 7 and a half, so we're just going to get it in under the hour.
Okay.
And then we might have a little bit of time
okay.
to talk. But, you know, because an IEP is a crazy thing, and I wanted to portray all of the characters at the IEP from the point of view of myself.
That was an amazing evening of filming, because we went around and filmed
it. Exhausting.
Oh my God, it was fantastic, and it was.
And we died laughing.
We died laughing, way. And then we just died, because we were. It was so hard and so wonderful, but it was Shannon changing wigs, changing costume, changing thing, changing accent, changing characters, and just the filming of it. And we laughed so hard.
Yeah.
And yet it was so powerful, and it still is, and it's really powerful because it's so funny. Because the funny is how ridiculous. This yeah. mashuganness.
Well, and I want to say, officially, legally, you know, these characters are not based on any one
no,
single
they don't
person.
Exist, but
wink,
they're,
wink, wink.
Yeah.
But there were people who came and saw it who died because they knew who inspired.
There's always somebody in our lives
yeah.
that you can go, oh, it's got to be that
yeah.
person.
Mm-hmm.
There it is. Who knows?
And I had some bones to pick. I had some people that I wanted to make fun of,
and
you know.
Well done.
So let's take a look
and
let's take a look at the IEP.
And I will be the team leader for this IEP meeting. I am also the RSP teacher, and RSP stands for Resource Service Personnel. I like to say, though, that it stands for really super people teacher. Some people think that the R stands for remedial or other R words, but it doesn't. So, okay, I think that we should go around the room and all introduce ourselves and say what our role is. And I'll start. I'm Mrs. McNamara, and you can call me Mrs. McNamara. And I'm the RSP, which means that I help Bobby with whatever he needs. If he is having trouble with something, he just comes on down to my room and we just work it out. And I just want to say that he is such a little love. You know, he just comes in and he brings his own little light. He is just such a special little boy. And I just want to thank you for letting us work with him and be with him, because he is a really sweet, special boy. Okay. Mrs. Smolinovsky.
Hello, I am Katya Molinovsky. You can call me Katya. I am OT. OT mean occupational therapy. We work job skills. Oh, he is good boy. He is delightful.
Well, I'm Chuck, and you can call me Chuck, and I'm the APE. And contrary to what some of the chuckleheads around here think, that does not mean I'm an ape. I am not an ape. APE stands for Adaptive Phys Ed. Phys Ed stands for physical education. And yes, I have heard the joke, those who can't do teach, and those who can't teach, teach phys ed, and those who can't teach phys ed, teach those who can't do phys ed. Phys stands for physical. Well, I haven't met your kid, but I'm the one who's gonna whip him into shape.
I'm Mrs. Edge. I'm the Gen Ed teacher for next year. And I just want you to know that he is in very good hands. Because while not really recognized as one, I'm a bit of an expert in this area. I have two nieces on the autism spectrum. And, you know, I've met them like twice, but I talk to my sister-in-law like two times a month for maybe 10 minutes at a time. So I have a very strong background in this area. You're welcome.
Okay, so at this time we'd like to go back around the room and talk about the testing that we did and what our areas of concern are. And I'll start. Well, there's just no easy way to say this, but we tested Bobby to see where his skills are, and he doesn't have any. You know, he's testing about two grades below where he should be, and that's okay. We don't need to get all upset or worried about that. It just means that we need to lower expectations. That's all. Okay.
He is R word. But remedial. No skills. At 4 years old, he is not eligible for any job. He hits me and others, Maybe he will be a boxer.
Sounds to me like somebody's been going easy on this kid. I think I might know somebody who can take care of that.
I didn't bother to look at the testing. I know everything.
Okay. So, the SLP, the speech and language pathologist, she wanted you to know that she tested your son, and he's nonverbal. So, you know, there's not much she can do for him. And the school psychologist really wanted to be here this morning, but when I came in, she was crying into her big gulp that, no kidding, was like the size of New Jersey. So I excused her. And, well, her assistant, Mrs. Tweedledummer, well, she doesn't believe that your child qualifies for services, so she wasn't coming no matter what. But, you know, I think you can see that we've got a really good handle on this, and Bobby's going to have a great year next year. Did you have any questions or concerns?
So Autism Journey with Elijah said about, I think the first video, love, love, love this. And Judy said about the second video, love that we all feel that way. Love that video, Shannon. We all feel that way. And then Judy said about this video, this is every meeting, Shannon. You know the script. They all give by heart. You made everyone's day. We love you. Well, I love you back. And this was my therapy.
It was just, you know, shooting that, first of all, from my yeah. perspective. Just watching it now, of course, I haven't seen it in a few years. I did go over the script to refresh myself on everything that we'd done. And the shooting, as you can see, we did that all in one night,
yeah,
right?
Crazy.
And it was all the costume changes and everything. But Shannon had so many, these characters were so specific and so specific yet so broad.
Yeah.
That I think that's the joy of how it can speak to everybody. Again, using the over-the-top comedy, but then as you find out that you hear these exact words. And when we got to the PE instructor, which I could never get through without losing my mind, just could not. And then but that's how it was.
Yeah, well.
But that could be how, you know, for you
really,
in those moments.
Yes.
And how it can be for a parent when there is just no recognition that their child has needs and the people that are supposed to be there to meet their needs when you're in need.
Yeah,
are in this dramatization, are more than incompetent. You're afraid they're going to wreck your kid.
Yeah, there was the APE teacher that in an IEP. He asked if he could be excused, and I said yes. And I said I called him a tool. And it was hilarious because the person who was running the IEP meeting, like I just was like, yeah, we don't need you. You're a tool. You can go. And because I couldn't contain it, I usually try to be so nice in an IEP meeting. But the person who was running the meeting went because she couldn't contain it. And
sometimes you gotta call a spade a spade, a tool a tool.
And there was and the big gulp, like there were all these little things that are the person crying into their big gulp. There was a person
the size of New Jersey.
I'm not kidding you. This person and who would always cry and have this ginormous. It would be a two-fisted thing to be able to lift it and carry it.
You can't
and
she make would, that stuff.
And
up.
She would bring it to the IEP meeting, and she was constantly crying into her giant big cup, and I was like, I have to put this in there.
See, that's
somehow.
The thing about those moments of comedy where it meets, you know, it meets real life is you, when we say you can't make that stuff up, you can't make that
you
stuff
can't
up.
Make that stuff
but
up.
When you see it, you know that, that you look at a moment, you go, that's gonna go someplace in my life.
Yeah,
I'm gonna lock it away, and
yes.
one day. That's
in the clown
come
car.
Back out. Yeah,
in the
yeah,
clown
yeah.
Car. The other thing that obviously, you know, we're not going to show you the whole show, but there were lots of mom. It's because it's called the Autism Monologues, and
yes.
there were lots of monologues and other little
things.
I
want to say it more slowly, though. It is the Autism Mama Logs.
Yes.
So the word monologues is suited yeah. to exactly what it was.
But a lot of it was, one of the things that I do, and I still do, and I always did it, was I write letters.
I was just thinking about that. I was yeah. hoping we could bring up, you don't happen to have
no. No, because okay. I can't, I mean, the language, we can't do it here either. But I, you know, if I'm upset with someone, I will start writing letters to them. And I'll start with the most incendiary language that I can
it was fantastic.
Think of. The worst, most horrible things you could ever say to somebody. And then I sort of work back from that and until, and you know, I never send these letters. I swear, someday I want to do a show and title it Letters Unsent and just read all of the letters.
You all heard it?
I know.
Everybody?
But because there are some, and I have a file cabinet.
You mentioned that before.
I have a file cabinet of these letters and they're hilarious. I need a couple of people to die before I can do this.
Because, they don't have to see it. We
well,
don't have to tell anybody.
You know, but anyway, but I wrote some letters.
Well, I got a guy.
And one of the letters that was particularly poignant for me was a letter that I wrote to autism. That was a huge, and I read that. There's a letter that I wrote to some of the special ed people that is scathing.
Fire.
Ooh, yeah.
I mean, it was, and and here we have, you know, our beautiful and lovely and incredibly talented woman sitting here with her pearl necklaces.
Yes,
sitting
I'm a
reading
nice
these
person.
Letters that, like, it made a sailor
oh,
blush.
Yes.
And it was a
yes.
thing of beauty.
And it was, and it helped me because I wrote a sentence once. I was so mad. I came home from an IEP meeting and I was vibrating. I was so mad and I wrote a sentence that was the worst sentence that I could ever imagine in my life. And I just, you know, and I wrote it. And then the second it was on the page and I looked at it and I went, oh, and I burst into this, you know, gales of laughter because it made it hilarious. And then I didn't have to be angry all day. Mm. And this is how I coped. Mm. So I don't know. Sometime, you know, we say that we want to go and film the whole thing at some point. We got to find the time.
I actually
to do
really
that.
Think that we need to make the time to do that.
We do.
Because it's, we took it on the road.
We did.
For a little while.
We went.
We went to the Northwest and
yes.
where did we go? We went places. We went a few
places. We went
places.
To places. And then the pandemic came.
Yeah.
And your husband was diagnosed with colon cancer.
Yes. And he is fine. Thank
he
you.
Is. Thank
and
you.
Yeah.
Yes.
So get that check done, people. Get that done.
Yes, absolutely. But there were things that were more important than what we were doing.
That were more critical at that time.
Yes.
Right? Things that were out of our control. However, we did go on the road, and that was a lot of fun. There were a lot of, yeah. It was also kind of wacky because we didn't know what staging we'd be in
oh
if
goodness.
We were in a stage.
We were in so many different theaters and
yeah.
buildings.
And you're doing your presentation. She'd have to do all these presentations throughout the day and then finish the day with a show and then maybe another presentation. And there are places where like in a wide open room with like floor to ceiling glass yeah. and I'm running around taping paper up
making
to try and making
enough.
It dark for
yeah.
the film. But
it was
that's
amazing.
What we
you
have
were
to
amazing.
Do.
It is.
We were amazing, and it was such a great time. But that's what we do.
Well, we're totally out of time here, but I want to thank all of you for being here with us. I want to thank Therese for coming in at this unhealthy hour of the morning.
Anytime, any but day, any place, any planet,
so awesome.
Any time dimension, time zone, or anything.
But
you
we
can think
hope
of. I will
we've
be
made
here for you.
You laugh. We hope we've, you know, made you feel like you're not alone in this. I have to say that the SJ Child Show is coming up, and she is going to be featuring the Global Autism Project. They're going to be talking about autism in different places around the world.
Fantastic.
Like, think about what it's like for people in Ukraine or fleeing Ukraine.
Don't stop.
Right. And maybe how you can help and support as well. We've got several more hours of this podcast-a-thon. Don't forget that you can make donations in the last hour, which happens at 10 o'clock this morning. If we raise $5,000, Dr. Grampy Shea is going to shave my head bald on the air. So make your donations now. Let's turn it over to the SJ Child Show.
If you found anything helpful in this video, please give us a like. In fact, make sure that you smash that subscribe button on YouTube and give us a like on Facebook. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Instagram for important updates. And please download our free podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you so much. See you next time.
Save
say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.